This is the Unconquered Podcast on Seminole Sports Radio, part of the VSporto Network, bringing you all Noles all the time.
If Florida State, we win national championships and ACC championships.
Back to the basics, consistency in what we're doing. Guys getting a little banged and bruised, working a bunch of different situations, making progress.
You have to have success so you know something I can really do this.
Welcome to the Unconquered Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Staples, and joining me today is Wayne McGahee III from NoleDigest.com, of course. And we're going to talk today. We're going to have two segments. This is our famed Fearless Predictions podcast, where we're going to basically humiliate ourselves by trying to predict the future for college football, which in 2015 is probably going to be impossible. But we're going to do segment one on Florida State, and then a second segment on the national stuff. So we'll have two segments there. So we'll focus first on the Florida State stuff. So why don't we get a start here? Wayne, first of all, good to have you with us. And second of all, what is the number one fearless prediction you have for Florida State football in 2015?
Dalvin Cook will become the leading rusher in Florida State football history for a single season.
So that's, you're going to lead with that. You think Dalvin Cook breaks Warrick Dunn's record?
Correct. I think he does it with 1,400 yards, almost 100 yards more.
How many carries to get to
225.
225. So you think they are going to use him more than Fisher's used some guys in the past?
Well, the thing is that Cook had 185 carries last season, I believe. It was either 108 or 185, and he averaged 5.9 yards per carry. He only started the last eight games. So in the first six, he needed to have 40 more carries in order to get to that mark. And he only needs to average 0.3 more yards per carry than he did in 2014 to get there.
Yeah, I just looked it up. He had 170 attempts last year. Most of that, like you said, over the last eight games. So if you average that, 170 carries, let's say over nine games, to be fair, because he did play some before that, then that gives you about 18 carries a game. You multiply that times, the 14 games of the season, and that's 252 carries, actually. If they play 14, which would, be basically the season plus an ACC championship and a bowl game, and, that would put him there.
Yep.
And at that point, I think if he plays that many games, I think that's going to be the question. Is this team going to make the ACC championship to give that extra game, that extra cushion to potentially set that mark? I think that's an interesting projection. But okay, so I'll go on the record. I actually don't think he quite gets there this year on that, in part because I think that the carries are going to be shared so much between him, Pender, and Jaquez Patrick. I think Patrick's going to get a lot of those short yardage carries and some other carries, sort of to wear defenses down, particularly in the second half of the season. So it's going to be interesting to see how they split carries. I'm just not sure he gets 225, 230 carries. I think he winds up more like 205 or 210, but who knows? These first couple of games, I think, are going to tell us a lot.
I also think that Florida State's going to, we both agree on this, Florida State's going to run a lot more than they have in the past. So even with them splitting more carries, there are more carries to go around.
Oh, yeah. Here's my number one prediction for this year. My fearless prediction is that Florida State will average over 38 rushes per game in 2015. I actually think they're going to average right around 40 carries per game on the season. If they wind up with a pretty good yard per carry average, you wind up with 40 carries per game times 14. That's 560 carries. And let's say they average 6 yards a carry. You're looking at this team potentially going over 3,000 yards rushing. So how about that? I'm going to go on the record here that this team averages about 38 carries a game and goes over 3,000 yards total rushing on the season. So our primary first predictions are about the rushing statistics. Let's go ahead and move forward then. How about the defense? Anything on defense you want to go on the record on?
Yeah, in my Fearless Prediction article that I put out earlier this week, I said that Florida State would nearly double their sack total. I'm going to go out on a limb and say Jacob Pugh is the first player in, what, two years to come up with more than 10 sacks.
Yeah, see, I've got him with a little over 8, but I do think Florida State doubles. I actually said they would double. I've got him with 34-plus sacks in 2015, which is not a whole lot. But I think they're going to have a lot more sacks this year because of what they're doing up front, going more to a Muschamp kind of pressure package look, with a lot more one gap and a little bit more emphasis on penetration and getting pressure than what they've done with the bigger personnel in the last couple of years. You know, they've got guys that can bend the edge a little bit, and they're going to do that. So we're on the same page there. Okay, let's go ahead then. We already know who. We already know, as long as everybody stays healthy, who the leading rusher is going to be. Question: Who's going to be the second leading rusher for Florida State?
Well, now do you mean? It's going to come down as touchdowns or yards? Because that's going to be two different.
Okay,
let's
go with yardage and touchdowns. So we'll do two separate things because that is a good point.
With yardage, the second leading will probably be Mario Pender. But I think Jaquez Patrick is going to play a lot in the goal line situation, and he's going to be used to pound the rock in there, you know, 1 yard out and get – I mean, he could end up with 10 touchdowns this year, but only like 300, 400 yards rushing.
Yep, I agree with that. I agree with both of those things. All right, leading receiver on the year.
Yeah, this is where
– and we'll divide that in leading receiver on catches and leading receiver on yardage and leading receiver for touchdowns. So that may be three, or it could be one.
I went out on a limb with this one. I think that the leading receiver yardage-wise at the end of the season will be Javon Harrison because he's going to be the big play threat that Florida State was lacking. In catches and touchdowns, I think it's going to be Travis Rudolph. But as far as yards go, I think Harrison will be the big play guy and end up with so many big plays that he ends up leading Florida State with like 700 yards receiving.
So – Let's think about receiving. How many catches does the leading receiver have?
I don't know that.
Over, you know, or under 45?
I'd say over 45, but I don't think it's higher than 55.
I think that's about right. Yeah, so we're on the same page. I think Travis Rudolph is going to be the leading receiver as far as catches, followed closely by Bobo Wilson. I think they're going to be the leading catch guys. I think Rudolph probably winds up with the most receiving yardage because he's going to have the most catches by enough that he'll probably get that. And I think he's maybe 50, 55 catches, that kind of thing. Basically, I think Rashad Green had 57 catches for 741 yards and 6 scores as a sophomore from EJ Manuel in 2012. And then going back to 2008, Greg Carr had 39 catches and Preston Parker had 40. In a season where I think the run pass balance is going to be pretty comparable to what we're going to see this year. So 40, 45 catches may well be the top mark, I think, with what I'm seeing. Cause I don't think this is another fearless prediction. I don't think this team passes the football more than 28 times per game. And actually that includes bubbles. So if you want to take bubbles out of the equation, I think that includes about 5 bubbles per game, which are just tagged onto the running game, really. They're just basically extended pitches. If you take those bubbles, those you know, passes that are thrown behind the line of scrimmage out, I'm not sure this team throws it more than about 22, 23 times a game on average. Now, they're going to be working out of the spread, and there'll be, if they're behind in some games, that's going to go up a little bit. But I think overall that's about where they're going to be, which means there's not as many receptions to go around. But I do think there will be more big plays in the year, and there's going to be some inconsistency. But I think, you know, 45, maybe 50 catches is probably your cap for a guy like Travis Rudolph, and somewhere in the, you know, 35 or 40 range for Bobo. That's a bold prediction, I think, with Pig Harrison being the leader. I don't think he's going to lead them in yardage, but I do like where your head's at. One of the reasons I don't think that's going to happen is because of George Campbell, who I think is going to take some of those big plays as well. So I think that winds up getting split a little bit. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with the receivers this year. And I think we're going to see a lot more jet sweep type stuff and, you know, some guys coming around for pitches on some option looks and things like that, at which point you're going to have Kermit Whitfield on the field, for example, for that stuff.
Yeah, Jimbo's mentioned Kermit a lot. I believe it when I see it. I'm going to take that because he completely disappeared last year.
Well, they didn't need him last year.
He is lighter.
He is lighter, like you said. They didn't need him last year. I mean, what are you going to do with a guy who, you know, he's not an exact route runner. He doesn't offer you a lot of what you really needed with Winston. But what he does give is a guy that you can throw short to. You can do stuff with bubbles and with jet sweeps and things like that. Your Trendon Holiday kind of role. If you need that, that guy offers it. And I think this team, this offense is going to need it.
Yeah, I mean, it'll definitely take some of the heat off the running game because it's you know, basically a type of run in and of itself. But it'll take a lot of pressure off of Golson. That's another thing we need to get into. How many rushing yards Everett Golson ends up with this year?
Okay, here's the over-under, 400.
I'm going to take the under. I'm going to take the under just because in college football, sack yardage is still rushing yardage.
Yeah, and that makes it more difficult, that's for sure. Boy, you know, this one's one of the more difficult ones looking at those numbers. I'm going to take the under. Okay, how about I'm going to go with the under as well. How about over under 300?
Over.
See, I think he's right at around 300 yards on the year. So that I think that's your over under for the year. So I'm not sure he's going to go over. I mean, he had 283 yards rushing last year for Notre Dame. And you know, a number of those were a lot of that was because he took a lot of sacks, especially in the second half of the year. But I think he's going to have more success on the ground in this offense than he did at Notre Dame. I think they're going to feature a little bit more what he does. So I'm going to say he goes over 300, but probably under 400. So I think we're in agreement there.
Yep.
Let's see some other stuff. Okay. Yards per play, on offense. Let's project yards per play on offense. What do you see happening on offense on the year? And this yards per play against the FBS opponents. How about that? Yards per play against FBS opponents.
I'm going to go with right around 5.
Yeah, and to put it in perspective, last year against FBS was 6.32. 2013 was 7.65, and 2012 was 6.8. And you're going to go right around 5. Now, 2008 was 5.03.
The reason that I'm going 5 is because this is going to be a run-focused team. They're not going to have as many – I mean, when you have your receivers, most receivers average, what, 10 yards per catch?
More than that, usually about 13 or 14, yeah.
More than that. So that skews the average a lot. When you're a running team, it goes down because you're going to have a lot of 3-4 yard runs that just move the sticks.
Yeah, I think they're going to average a decent amount per carry. I'm going to go with right around, let's say 5.9 yards per play, maybe 6. I'll go with 6.0. How about that? 6.0 yards per play. I think right at 6 yards per play on the season for the offense. How about on the defensive side? Last year, the defense gave up 5.58 yards per play. That was versus 4.16. That's an elite number from the 2013 defense. 4.11 from the 2012 defense. And go back all the way back to 2008, 5.1 from the 2008 team.
I think this defense is going to take a big, big step forward.
So do I.
With the talent that's in the secondary and the rotation that Florida State is going to have at the defensive tackle position, I'm going to go right around 4.7, 4.8.
Okay. I actually think they're going to be even better than that. I think we're looking at somewhere around 4.3 yards per play given up by the defense overall against FBS, which puts them about the same position as the 2011 defense. 2011 defense was 4.29. I think they're in that same area as the 2011 defense. You know, good, you know, very good, but not quite where the 2012-2013 defenses were in that regard. So then the next question is, Okay, so let's go to. Oh, this is a good one. Interceptions. So last year's group had 16 total interceptions, or I'm sorry, 14 interceptions versus 26 in 2013, and then only 11 in 2012 and 16 in 2011. So where do you think they fall in on interceptions this year?
Well, I mean, if you believe Marquez White, he says he's going to get 7 or 8 just because Jalen Ramsey's on the opposite side of him.
Yeah, well, good for him if he gets 7 or 8.
Yeah, I don't think he gets that many. I don't think 4 or 5 is out of the question for him just because they're going to be people are going to be throwing at him to stay away from Jalen.
The most interceptions anyone has had going all the way back to 2008 in a season is 4, just for the record.
Yeah. But, I mean, when was the last time Florida State had one side of the field just completely cut off and a relative unknown on the other side?
That's a good point.
So, I mean, I think that he's athletic enough to where teams will have to start respecting him more, but I don't think that comes in the first couple games, especially against teams like, you know, USF.
Yeah, I think that may be true. I think they're going to be somewhere between – I think they'll improve on last year's number, which actually wasn't a terrible number. I think they're not going to, I mean, I don't think they're going to be 26. I'm going to give them, all told, I'm going to give this defense, I'll give them 20 interceptions on the year, in part because of how much teams are going to throw on this defense. This is going way out on a limb, but this is, I think we're going to see a pretty ball hawking defense on the, in the passing game. I think I'm going to go with 20 interceptions, which will put them near the top of the country on that.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that. There's just not that many, you know, straight running teams. I mean, your number's going to go down with Georgia Tech and Boston College, but other than that, everybody really throws the ball.
Yep. So next question then, we'll go ahead and wrap the Florida State segment with this. Record. Where does Florida State end up in terms of record, and who are their most likely losses?
Well, I'm going to go with 10-2. I think the first most likely loss is Georgia Tech. And the second loss is I have no clue. Not a clue, but it won't be Clemson.
Yeah, I think they beat Clemson. I'm right with you. I think this team does beat Clemson. But I'm also with you on 10-2, which is actually pretty optimistic for this group. If we're actually going off of some of the things we've heard inside, I mean, one of the people I chat with periodically inside the football program is telling me, you know, he's expecting 8 wins. But you know, he's saying, well, you know, if things break right, you know, they could win a game or two more than that. But, you know, certain things are going to have to get shaken out in terms of what's happening in practice and such. I just think some of those things will get worked out. And I think that certain things on the schedule, certain teams on the schedule shakes out right for this team to get some of those things right by the time they play some of those teams. But it very easily could be an 8-win team. I don't think there's enough talent
on the schedule.
Yeah, there. But the thing is, the margins are tight enough that I could very much see this team being an 8-win team. But I think they wind up around 10-2. The games I think they're most likely to lose, I don't think they're as likely to lose against Georgia Tech or Clemson. I think the games they're most likely to lose are Miami and Louisville. And you can throw maybe a trap game in there to like an NC State or something like that if they get by both Miami and Louisville or one of those or whatever. But the games I'm most worried about, Louisville's going to be really, really good on defense, particularly in the front seven. And this team
will be my second pick.
This team is going to be so dependent on running the football that against a front seven like Louisville with Sheldon Rankins and Devontae Fields and some of these guys, they're going to be really tough to run on this year. And so they're a team that I think just sets up in terms of where they are in the schedule. I think they follow the Georgia Tech game, if I remember correctly. They either follow the Miami or the Georgia Tech.
Miami, Louisville, Georgia Tech.
Yeah, so they're sandwiched. That's what it is. They're sandwiched between Miami and Georgia Tech. And that just, to me, is just a really bad placement for that game. That's a team that's going to be able to stop the run. that's going to probably be able to force Florida State to throw into what should be a pretty good secondary. That, I think, is the game that should probably worry a lot of people a lot more than people give them credit for. I think Louisville is going to be a lot better than people think. And you know, this is getting into the next segment a little bit, but I think that's one possible win. And then I think Miami's going to be a lot better than people think. I think Miami may well beat Clemson. I think Miami probably gets one of Clemson or Florida State this year and upsets one of those two teams.
I just don't see it.
Yeah, well,
you have to be great in the trenches to beat Florida State.
To beat Florida State, but not necessarily Clemson this year. And that's the game I think they probably win. They may not beat Florida State, but I think they're one of the teams up on that list. I think FSU beats Clemson. Georgia Tech is going to be tough, but I think it's Louisville is the one that you got to be most concerned about. And then there's about six other losable games on this schedule, which, you know, I think the other loss comes from that group. So, you know, I think we're by and large in agreement on that.
Yep.
All right. Well,
I just don't see Miami just because their offensive line's so bad.
Yeah, well, you know, but they do have some horses. You know, they've got some talent, and again, their defensive line's going to be pretty good. So, in any case, let's go ahead and wrap that segment. Again, this is the Unconquered podcast on Seminole Sports Radio of eSporto Channel. This is Jason Staples, joined by Wayne McGahee III from NoleDigest.com. And we are talking about fearless projections for the 2015 football season. Now we're going to go ahead and flip the script for this second half of the podcast, this second segment. And we're going to evaluate some things looking nationally, making some fearless predictions for some national stuff. And I'm going to go ahead and go first with this one, with two different predictions to lead off. First and foremost is Ohio State will not go undefeated. They will not go undefeated, and in fact, they may not even make the playoff. They're going to be in danger of not making the playoff. And part of that goes to my second fearless prediction. Last year, I predicted that Virginia Tech would beat Ohio State in the Shoe in week two and then go on to finish sixth in the ACC Coastal, which is actually, you know, sometimes a blind squirrel does find a nut, and that happened to be one I just hit a home run on last year. And I was not going to pick Virginia Tech to beat Ohio State in 2015 because Ohio State's better than Virginia Tech. But then and particularly because they were going to have some serious trouble with Ohio State up front. And then Joey Bosa and those guys got suspended. Then Ohio State lost their next leading wide receiver to a knee injury for the year. And now I'm starting to think about this, and I'm going, you know, the biggest reason that they were going to have trouble offensively, aside from the fact that Virginia Tech's offense tends to struggle against anybody, was because they didn't have the ability to block them as well up front with Bosa in particular. But now I think with this particular combination, I think Virginia Tech is going to be able to single cover them on the outside and dare them to throw the ball down the field. They're going to put 8 and 9 in the box, and I think they're going to beat Ohio State in week one. And I think actually this Virginia Tech team will go on to probably win the ACC Coastal. I think it's the best Virginia Tech team that I think we've seen in the last six years or so. But I think this team beats Ohio State in week one in Blacksburg. And I think the ACC overall winds up going 2-2 in the marquee games to begin the year. So you're going to see, I think North Carolina beats South Carolina, who I think is way overrated. I think even now people think more of South Carolina than they deserve. And it's because of the respect for Spurrier, and he deserves it. But I just don't think that the talent is quite there like it was 2-3 years ago. I think North Carolina beats South Carolina on Thursday night to open the game or to open the season. And I think then one of the other three ACC teams, that's Virginia against UCLA, who I think is going to lose. But anyway, I think Louisville is going to give. I already said earlier on the podcast what I think of Louisville. I think they're going to give Auburn all they can handle. And then I think Virginia Tech is going to give Ohio State all they can handle. And like I said, I just picked them. So I think the ACC goes 2-2 or better in that set of four games. All right, Wayne, your turn. Go ahead and start.
All right. Well, I might be a year early on this. I know you completely disagree with it. But I have Tennessee coming out of the SEC East.
I just do not see it.
I know you don't see it, but that defensive line is going to be much better. The offensive line is going to be much better. They have the best quarterback in the SEC, which is not saying much. I'll go ahead.
Tallest midget.
Yes, I will go ahead and say that. It's not saying very much, but when it comes down to it, they have Jalen Hurd, Dobbs. They have some really good wide receivers, Marquez North. They're going to be much better than people think. And the other team that a lot of people pick to win the SEC East, Georgia, has to go to Tuscaloosa and plays Auburn this year. So that's like two likely losses on the schedule, even if they beat Tennessee.
Yeah, well, Tennessee has Alabama on their schedule too, so that's a wash between those.
Well, yeah, but Georgia always finds a way to lose to South Carolina too.
Yeah, but again, I don't think South Carolina's beaten a whole lot of teams this year, so I think that South Carolina team might be a 5-win team.
Very good, but Spurrier owns Mark Richt.
Yeah, well, you know, that may well happen, but I just don't see it. I don't see it.
I know you don't.
I may be a year early on another team that you probably disagree with. I think Michigan, with Jim Harbaugh, surprises a lot of people and goes 8-4 or better. And I think they're going to give Ohio State all they can handle at the end of the year. That Michigan roster is more talented than people realize. It's the second or third most talented roster in the Big Ten. And, you know, you could argue that that's tallest midget situation, but you know, I think Michigan ends up finishing somewhere around I think they probably finish second in that division to Ohio State, but I think they're going to challenge Ohio State in that division in Jim Harbaugh's first year. I think they're going to be improved. I think he's going to work some magic, and I think they're going to be better than people expect in that first year, and that's going to get the train rolling pretty quickly.
Well, the thing is that, I mean, I'm looking at their schedule right now, and I don't see four teams that can beat them.
I see four teams that can beat them. I don't see four teams that are going to beat them.
They get Michigan State and Ohio State at home. I think Minnesota at Minnesota will be an interesting game. And I think Utah to start the season will be interesting as well. So
I think they'll steal.
I think 4 is right around where
yeah, they should be. They're going to steal either the Ohio State or the Michigan State game. I think they're going to get one of those games under Jim Harbaugh in this first year. And that, I think that's going to be really interesting. Here's another bold prediction for the year. Not only will no SEC team have fewer than two losses, I think the SEC champ has two losses this year, but I think there's going to be multiple teams in the college football playoff this year with two losses. So that means more than one. There, I think two and possibly three teams in the college football playoff will have two losses. I'll go with two.
It's bold.
Yep. So I think two teams in the college football playoff, at least one, and probably two will have two losses in the college football playoff, which means that the SEC champ will have two losses and will still get in. But I think they may not even be the fourth seed with two losses. I think we may see two teams, and maybe even more, but two teams. We may well see multiple teams with two losses in the college football playoff. Looking through the schedules and with how much parity there is in that top to middle area of the talent, you know, pool in the country, I think there's going to be a lot of upsets this year. It's going to look a lot more like 2007, where a two-loss team won the national title with LSU. I think it's going to look a lot more like 2007, where the number two team in the country may well have two losses. Now, the team that I think may make it through without two losses is actually Oregon.
Okay. Okay.
I think Oregon, given their schedule, given last year was, you know, they were decimated by injuries and they were a pretty young team. I mean, I think they were in a lot of ways a year early, and it was partly because of Mariota. They're a better team than they were last year, minus the quarterback position, and I think they've got a pretty good one.
We'll see. They lost. Losing Tyner is a big deal for them.
Yeah, that is a huge deal. But they've got some talent there at that running back position. So, I mean, but yeah, Tyner is a big deal.
Yeah.
But that, of course, means that I don't think USC is going to be what people think this year.
No. But
a lot of people, they're trendy picking the playoff.
I was on this bandwagon last year, and I was completely wrong, 100%. But I'm going back to it because I'm going back to the well. I believe in Rick Neuheisel. I think UCLA makes the playoff.
You know, that would not startle me. I don't think that they win the conference, though, because again, I think Oregon.
They don't have to play Oregon.
I think Oregon. Well, they would have to Pac-12 playoff game, in the Pac-12 championship game. And
if
I think
Oregon
that's
gets there.
But I think Oregon does get there, and I think ultimately Oregon's going to be the rep there. But you know, it may be Oregon and UCLA. That would not surprise me. I'm just surprised by how many people are jumping on the USC bandwagon this year, given that they're still dealing with some lack of depth. I'm just looking at their schedule. That's a tough schedule. And I just don't think that they're going to be able to close the second half of the year with some of the injuries and some of the bangs and bruises and things that you get over the course of a season. You need depth. You need margin to be able to go, you know, one loss or, you know, in this case, maybe two losses. You need to have some depth to do that. And I just don't see them as having the kind of depth that they need. I think they're a year away.
I agree. I don't.
I think USC finishes
9-3. Seven wins, Sark.
I think USC finishes 9-3, 8-4 area, and that's not because they underachieve, but because that's where they probably should be. Now everybody's going to be yelling at Sark because they're going to say they underachieve, but I don't think that's going to be the case.
Yeah, I mean, you know, high expectations and whatnot. I would be surprised if they won 10 games. But
yeah, so will I.
I'm going back to the well. I'm a believer.
And I do think, just like last year, I said this also in my preseason column last year, and I don't think anything has changed. If anything, it's more unbalanced. I think Oregon just runs away from Michigan State, this time in East Lansing in the second week. I think they run away from, you know, they run and hide against Michigan State in that game.
I'm not sure that happens. I think that game's going to be very, very close. It's going to be a lot closer than it was last year. And last year's game, until the fourth quarter, was extremely close.
Yeah, Michigan State was in that game until the fourth quarter, and then it got blown open with a couple turnovers and a couple things. But I just think
we
Oregon,
know all about that.
I wouldn't be surprised if Oregon is ranked number one going into the college football playoff. Now, I don't think they win the college football playoff, but don't be surprised if they go into the college football playoff number one. Okay, so let's go ahead and then do a quick lightning round before we close here. Let's do a quick lightning round, and we then will we'll close the podcast. So for the lightning round, we're going to name the winners of each division and conference, and then our four playoff teams, which I'm still not sure about myself. I'm probably going to have to make this up on the fly, but our four playoff teams, and then. And then our Heisman finalists and Heisman Trophy winner. We'll do the four playoff teams actually last. So let's go first. Let's take that backwards. Let's go Heisman Trophy finalists. Who's going to wind up in New York at the end of the year?
I'm going to go Boykin from TCU, Ezekiel Elliott from Ohio State, and there's going to be one more. And I'm going out on the limb here. I think Derrick Henry.
Huh.
Alabama.
Interesting.
He's got that job. He's going to be the leader out there.
And who wins it?
Boykin from TCU.
Okay. That's a safe pick. He's the favorite going into the year. I don't think TCU winds up a one-loss team or better, so I'm not sure he's going to end up having the wins to do it. I think I'm going to go out on a limb here as well. I mean, I think this is a wide open race. I'm going to go with Nick Chubb from Georgia. I think Boykin gets there, and he may win it. I think Ezekiel Elliott from Ohio State probably gets there. I think this is a year where there may be five. I think Elliott gets there. I think Leonard Fournette from LSU gets there. And I think Vernon Adams from the quarterback from the transfer quarterback from Oregon gets there. And out of those guys, I'm going to go with Nick Chubb. I think Chubb wins the Heisman. That'll be my pick. Followed closely, I think it'll be Chubb and then Vernon Adams. Adams may win it as well, but I'll just go out on a limb and say the running back finally wins one after years of a quarterback doing it. I think there'll be some skepticism about Adams being there just because Mariota won it last year, and there'll be the system thing, and I think that'll keep him from winning it. And Boykin will probably have one too many losses to win it, and there'll be some skepticism about that.
Well, how's Chubb going to win it if they don't win the SEC East?
I think they win the SEC.
I think you're crazy.
Yeah.
But hey.
Well,
I mean,
that gives
that's
away
what
my
this
pick.
Is for, right?
Yep.
It's
your fearless predictions here. Fearless projections. So let's start then. We'll just do the Power Five conferences. Pac-12 North. Who wins the Pac-12 North?
Pac-12 North. I'm actually not going Oregon. Legitimately, I'm not going Oregon.
Okay.
I'm going Stanford.
Okay, you're going to go Stanford. I got Oregon. Pac-12
football.
Pac-12 South.
UCLA.
UCLA. I'm going to go. I'm just scared of that freshman quarterback. I'm going to go.
So good.
He is. I'm going to go UCLA as well. I think it's UCLA Oregon in the Pac-12 championship, and you obviously think UCLA, and I think Oregon, so we can move on. Big 12. Who wins the Big 12?
TCU. One loss.
You think TCU makes it through with one loss? That puts them in the playoff, in my opinion.
Correct.
I think it's going to be Baylor. I think Baylor actually wins the conference this year, but I'm not sure. I wouldn't be surprised if there's several teams with two losses at the top, because I think Texas and Oklahoma will each take down somebody. And I think Oklahoma State is going to be a team that's going to take down a TCU or a Baylor here. But I think Baylor, you know, they'll name a champion based on head-to-head. And I think Baylor winds up being the team that does it there. So I think Baylor is going to be named the champion.
Okay.
All right. Big Ten.
I think Ohio State and Wisconsin, same as last year.
Yeah, that's a safe pick. I actually agree with you. I think Ohio State will probably lose a conference game. I don't know that I'd say probably, but it's going to be close. I think they'll lose a conference game. Whether against Michigan or Michigan State, I think Michigan is the more likely loss, which would be hilarious in the first year of that rivalry being renewed with given renewed energy with Harbaugh. But I do think that they still win their side of the conference, and I think they win the conference. I think they beat Wisconsin in the championship game. So we're agreed there.
There's just nobody in the West. I think that Minnesota is a team that's very interesting, but they're not going to be able to compete with Wisconsin
no.
at this point.
And I think Nebraska is they're just a ways away. And I think Miami's going to beat Nebraska. So that tells you about, you know, what I think of the Big 12 West. All right, let's move over to the SEC. Who wins the East? You've got Tennessee. I have Georgia.
Uh-huh.
How about that's the East. Who's gonna win the West?
Alabama.
So you're going to go with the safe pick. Bama's schedule is so tough.
I'm going to go with the smart pick.
Yeah, well, you know, it's hard to pick against Bama. I am so tempted right now to pick either LSU or Texas A&M. I think A&M will have a say in this. I think A&M is going to be better than people think, but I'm going to go with LSU to win the SEC West.
You are putting a lot on Leonard Fournette.
I really am.
There ain't no quarterback to bail him out.
Yeah, I just I'm rethinking this as I'm saying it. That's the thing.
No quarterback.
I don't believe in Auburn. I think they're going to be good, but I don't think they're going to be good enough on that schedule. Alabama's schedule is just a nightmare. Oh man, this is the toughest pick. I think. I mean,
no,
this is tougher than the ACC
Ole Miss?
Coastal. No love for Ole Miss. None.
You don't like Swag Kelly?
No love. Boy, you got me rethinking this.
I'd go with Texas A&M before I went with that with LSU.
Yeah, their schedule, the A&M schedule is just so sexy. Oh boy, I've been kicking this around for a while.
Well, come on, we ain't got all night.
Yeah. You know what? Dang it. I'm just going to go with Bama, and A&M finishes second and LSU's third. We'll go with that.
All right.
And then it's going to be a Georgia-Bama SEC title game, and I think Georgia wins the SEC title.
Yeah, I don't see it. I got Alabama.
Yeah, well, going safe well, again.
Grayson Lambert is the new quarterback for the University of Georgia.
Yeah, that's
the
funny in itself.
Could not win the starting quarterback job at University of Virginia.
Yeah, but you know what? This could be the single biggest indictment of the coaching situation at Virginia if Grayson Lambert goes somewhere else and is immediately successful. Because,
well,
I mean, there's no doubt that the Virginia offense has been a dumpster fire, so I'm not sure I'm really willing to talk about anybody, anybody negatively about how they ran that Virginia offense. So, you know,
well, the thing is that he was a major part of it being a dumpster.
Yes, he was. But it's just hard to know whether or not that was him or whether it was somebody else.
I mean, so, Georgia's stable of running backs are the best in the country. I don't think there's anybody that would debate you on that.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm going to go with Bama Georgia in the SEC title game, but I think I'm going to go with the team that I think is more likely to be in the title game to win the title game, and that's Georgia. And then let's go to the ACC. ACC Coastal.
I have Georgia Tech.
I've got Virginia Tech. I think Georgia Tech is a four-loss team. And I've got Florida State on the Atlantic side. You?
Florida State, yes.
The team I think to watch for on the Atlantic side that will finish second, or if they beat Florida State, will finish first, is Louisville. I actually, that's one of my projections here. I think Clemson finishes third in the ACC Atlantic.
I think Clemson finishes second. I'm not sure Louisville has the offense to maintain.
They have
I know
Bobby
the defense
Petrino.
Is going to be phenomenal.
They have Bobby Petrino. That means they have an offense. Yeah. All right, now let's go to our playoff picks. Who are your four playoff picks?
I'm going to go with UCLA. I'm a believer. Ohio State, Alabama, and TCU. I think TCU comes in at number one. Alabama comes in at number two. Ohio State comes in at number three. And then UCLA comes in at number four.
Okay, so I'm going to go with Oregon, Georgia, Baylor, and Ohio State. I think those are your four. Those are your most likely four. I think it's almost certain that we will be wrong and that there's going to be some sort of screwball in there this year, especially given that I think that there's going to be potentially multiple two-loss teams in there, but it's going to be an interesting year for the committee. So who do you have in the championship game, and who do you have winning it?
I had TCU and UCLA in one game, and then Alabama and Ohio State in the other rematch from. So I think it's going to be Ohio State and TCU, and I actually have TCU winning the national championship.
Boy, I really do not like what I'm about to say just because I just find it so far-fetched, but it's just a matter of looking through some of these things. Ay, ay, ay. Out of these, I think Oregon beats Baylor, and I think Georgia beats Ohio State, and I think Georgia winds up winning the national title. I can't believe I just said that.
Look,
I don't believe I. You know what? I don't believe the fearless prediction that I just made. I just don't.
Okay.
Which tells you, I'm just going to put this out there. I have no idea who's going to be in the national title game this year. This is not a normal year.
You lost by, what, 35 points to the University of Florida.
I don't even want to talk about it. Yeah, I know. And a team with Grayson Lambert at quarterback. I don't know how I did this. I don't believe anything that just came out of my mouth on this, but you know what? This has been the Unconquered Podcast on VSporto, on Seminole Sports Radio on the VSporto Network. I don't believe anything about what I just said in terms of the playoff makeup and who's going to actually win, except that there's going to be at least one two-loss, maybe two two-loss teams in there. But I have no clue who's actually going to win the national title this year. Like I said, this has been the Unconquered Podcast. On behalf of Wayne McGahee III from NoleDigest.com, I'm Jason Staples. You can follow him on Twitter at Wayne McGahee III. So Wayne McGahee III. And you can follow me on Twitter at Doc Staples. And of course, at Seminole Sports Radio. Go to Nole Digest to get your fix. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again soon. And don't bet on Georgia to win the national title.
Ever. Place Josh Heupel.
Yeah, and you know what? I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. I cannot. I can't finish it. You know what? I'm posting an addendum. I'm going to go back on my SEC pick. I think Alabama winds up beating Georgia in the SEC title game, and this is over Wayne's strenuous objections to my going back on this. I just can't do it. I can't pick a Grayson Lambert-led team to win the national title. I think ultimately Alabama goes and gets the spot that I was talking about with Georgia with two losses, and then Alabama wins the national title. That's what I'm going to go with. I'm just much more comfortable with that. I can't sleep. I couldn't have slept on Grayson Lambert there. So this is your postscript. This is at the actual end of the Unconquered podcast. And this, I think, is a good example of exactly how crazy the 2015 season is going to be. And thank God we are here. All right, everybody. That's the real end. Thanks for listening.
Boo!
I made this.